same day split holidays. Now, I'm going to die on this hill, just like I am all of these seven, but we are not sharing holidays on the same day, meaning Christmas. I'm not having my kids start at one house and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon come to another house. I'm not doing it. We're not doing it. If you are in a high conflict co-parenting journey or divorce, this podcast is for you. My name is Samantha Boss, and I am the host of The Ugly Truth of Divorce. In today's episode, we are going to dive into the seven things that I would never, yes, I said the N-word, never include in your parenting plan if I was writing it for you. This episode is really going to get you thinking about, man, that sounded like a good idea. Someone told that to me, but now I don't want it. And here's why. You got to pay attention to this episode. It is a game changer and will save you in your journey ahead. So these are going to be the seven things that I would never agree to in a parenting plan. And I'm just going to hit you with this little bit of knowledge right from the word jump. Some of these are going to blow your mind as to why I say no to them. I say no. And I'm going to tell you the why I say no. But when you first hear them and your butt puckers and you're like, Sam, I can't go without that. Just listen to the stories, listen to the explanation, and it will all make sense. So let's dive in. Very first one, right of first refusal. It's a no for me. Now, let's get a little bit of background here. If you're listening to this podcast, most likely you are in a high conflict journey or you're fearing that your journey could turn high conflict in co-parenting, whether that be directly from your ex's personality or who they start dating could cause you conflict and problem. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, eh, I'm on the fence of am I high conflict or not, people that get along don't even question if they're on that fence. So there's something about your situation that's saying red flag, this could go south at any point in time. I'd rather be prepared. And right of first refusal is just a no for me. It's a huge red flag for future problems if you put it in your parenting plan. Now, a lot of attorneys are going to go again and tell you, it's standard, Sam. You got to include it. This is what every parent wishes they had. Don't you want more time with your kids? Yes, Larry. And Larry, again, is the lawyer that I think is a loser that directs you the wrong way and doesn't know his head from his ass and probably has never even had children before. But he's going to tell you that you need this, that don't you want your kids every second you can? And I'm going to be perfectly honest, as a veteran myself in the co-parenting single lifehood journey, no, I'm not anybody's babysitter. So no. And that sounds harsh, I know. And we're going to get into it in another episode. But right of first refusal essentially means this. If I need to step away from my children during my scheduled parenting time, right of first refusal in a nutshell says that I am required to call my ex-husband and say, hey, I need to step away. Would you like the kids? And he's going to respond back with yes, and he's going to take the kids. And then when I'm done with my thing, I'm going to go pick them up and bring them back home. And this gets very, very messy. And we're going to dive in again into it in a future episode really soon. But it's not something that works with high conflict people because there's a lot of rules around right of first refusal. There's a lot of respect around it. There's a lot of, hey, I scratched your back, you scratch mine. Hey, it's common policy. Hey, let's follow these rules. High conflict people don't do that. So right of first refusal from the word jump, I'm taking it out. Now, I know for some of you, again, your ass is puckering going, Sam, but I want my kids as much as possible. And I just can't tell you enough. It won't work out the way you think it will. It's a way to surveillance you. It's a way to fuck with you and your kids. And if you know, you know. And if you don't, you're going to find out in future episodes. The next thing that I would never put in a parenting plan is shared parenting calendars, which actually, ironically, is our very next episode right after this. But a shared calendar means that you most likely, because you're here learning, you're here getting an education, you're here trying to improve your situation. You're going to be the secretary. You're going to be the uploader. You're going to be the one that's inputting everything. And the big picture here is this. We're two separate households and we're both adults. Why are you not keeping track of your shit on your own time? I'm not putting it in black and white that I have to share a calendar with a high conflict person who also possibly could be my abuser in some cases, and who also possibly could be stalking me. And oh, let's not forget, this person hates my guts. So I'm not sharing a calendar with said person. It's nasty. The next one, same day split holidays. Now, I'm going to die on this hill, just like I am all of these seven, but we are not sharing holidays on the same day, meaning Christmas. I'm not having my kids start at one house and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon come to another house. I'm not doing it. We're not doing it. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why, but here is a nutshell. It f***s with your kids. Now, I know instantaneously, if you're new here, you're like, Sam, I want to see my kids on Christmas. It's not about the day. It's about the celebration. Let me say that again. Your kids could care less about what day they see you as long as they celebrate with you. And I don't care if it's the 4th of July, Christmas, Easter, whatever it is, as long as they're getting a glimpse of a holiday with you, they don't care what day it falls on. How do I know this? I've been doing co-parenting for 18 years with my children and my co-parent. And my kids did not have Christmas on Christmas. My kids did not celebrate birthdays on their birthday. They celebrated them always on a different day. And they don't remember. They just know they had birthdays with me. They had Christmas with me. They had 4th of July with me. Sometimes we drove two towns over on July 2nd to watch that town's fireworks because I didn't have them on July 4th. It's not about the day, but the last thing I want to do is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, be shrugging my anxiety over to my children saying, hurry up, let's go. Change your clothes, brush your teeth, get your shoes on. Yeah, I know all of your cousins are staying here. Yes, but you're a divorced kid and you need to leave at 2 o'clock because your dad's going to come pick you up. And I'm sure he's going to do great things with you. And then I'm boosting him up for all these great things. And maybe it's not great at that house. But my kids now have to leave all of their cousins to go to that other house. And again, I can hear your arguments coming through the screen, but you're never going to talk me into it. Kids deserve to just spend the day with you, whether that is going to maybe your aunt's house and your mom's house, whether that is just staying at home. Kids deserve to have a relaxing holiday, not be passed around like a potluck. We're not doing that to our kids. And a lot of the arguments I will always hear is, but I want to see my kids on Christmas. And of course, little Johnny, who's seven, is saying, you know, but I want to see you, Dad, but I want to see you. They don't know what it's like to have a split holiday. So of course, they're going to say, I want to see both of you. They don't know how it would feel to be relaxed with one parent one day and maybe go see the whole other side of the family the following weekend. And space it out. Again, divorced kids really only care about two birthday parties and two Christmases. Just wait. Your kid will be fine with it. Which brings me to my next point that I would never include in a parenting plan. Sharing birthdays. Are you kidding me? We're divorced for whatever reason. And you think we are going to have a coming to Jesus moment at Chuck E. Cheese and work together? And not only split the cost, we'll argue about what day. Is it my day or your day? We'll argue about location. Well, I want it here and I want it there. Can you imagine going to your ex's house and they're already with somebody else, but you wrote in your parenting plan that you have to share the child's birthday? And B, I have read, I'm getting heated. I have read where parents have to go to who's ever hosting that year. They have to go. It says have to go to the other parent's party. And I actually got involved with one of my one-on-one clients who went to a co-parenting counselor for her and her ex-husband. And I read the email of the follow-up and quote, the counselor said, both of you need to just grow up and do these birthday parties together every year. So I will be recommending it to your mediator to write it that way. Their kid is seven. No, I'm not sharing a holiday because around that, again, we're arguing about what day. We're arguing about location. We're arguing about what cake flavor. We're arguing about, you know, who can bring presents. We're arguing about who's invited. You don't like my mother-in-law? I don't like your sister. Are we not inviting people? Isn't this whole day of birthday supposed to be about the child and not the tension? And here is a fucking newsflash for some of you that are new. Your kid is somebody different for mom than they are for dad. From mama A to mama B, they switch personalities. I don't care who you are. If you don't believe that, welcome. Here is the big news of the day. Your kids react differently to each parent based on their attraction and relationship with that. Meaning, what kind of love do I receive from that parent is how I behave and how I act. And so for a child who's in the midst of a divorce and co-parenting journey to be thrown into Chuck E. Cheese with both people, whose personality will that child pick to adapt to? I will tell you, the high conflict parent, How do I know this? I witnessed it full hand with my own children, but all of my friends, all my clients, and they're like, Sam, why did my kid act like an Sam, why did my kid baby talk? Sam, why did my kid throw a tantrum? They never do that with me, because they were molding themselves to that parent and not you, because you are the safe parent. Again, I could talk about this for days, but today we're talking about the things not to include. The next one, vague exchange information. I can't even tell you the number, but it is over 50% of plans that I have read, from Larry the lawyer to mediators who suck to just people that are using these basic boring ass templates. They forget to include, where are we exchanging the children outside of school and activities? Where are we doing it? And it's amazing to me what the professionals say as to why they left it out. Well, I thought you'd be able to talk about it. What? We hired you to talk with us. What would make you think we would pick a location? And I have had parents who are literally blocks from each other. Blocks. Argue about who has to drive and drop off or who has to pick up. And we're talking calling lawyers. Hell, I had a client. Oh my gosh, I can't remember. I'm remembering this, but I am. I had a client probably 6-7 years ago. She had the marital home and he removed himself and he went and lived with like a relative or something for probably close to 2 years. They got divorced. As soon as their divorce was over, I'm talking divorce got done on a Monday, he bought the house in the backyard, backyard to backyard, on like a Wednesday, and became her backyard neighbor. And they would argue about who had to walk their child from home to home, fence to fence. Use lawyers to argue this out. And it's just become so petty, but it becomes expensive. And so this is why we have to have words. So I wouldn't sign something that has a vague, like if it doesn't say who's picking up and who's dropping off when school or daycare or extracurriculars are not involved, no, because we're not going to figure it out. We're going to argue about it. We're going to argue about it. So just put it in. Now, this one, I can already tell from a lot of my social media posts, this one's going to really poke the bear. I am not including phone calls with my children in my parenting plan. I said what I said. I won't take it back. You won't talk me out of it. It is what it is. Phone calls are dumb. Now, again, know who my audience is. My audience is a high conflict situation where parties do not get along, whether it be one party or both. They don't like each other. And these phone calls are weapons. They are investigative tools. They are a way to make sure you're home at 6 o'clock when you're supposed to call. They are a way to investigate who you're hanging out with. They are a way to make sure you have no life because you have to be home to make the phone call. They're a way to see into your home. And here is the thing, and I've posted so many times about this stuff, but these phone calls in high conflict situations, when it was time for my kids to call their dad, hey, call your dad. Okay. That was about as much effort as I put into it. Now, I didn't want to hear his voice because it made me like, ache. So I would leave the room or go outside or go do laundry downstairs. And they'd talk and talk and talk, right? 10 minutes, hang up, done. Never really asked what they talked about. Didn't really give a shit. They did their phone call. It was over. What happened the other direction was, before they were to call me, now again, the kids are with their father, was a sit down before the phone call happened. Here's what you're allowed to say. Here's what you're not allowed to share. Here's what you'll ask her. And I'm sitting right here and listening. So when my children would call me, it was not, hey, how's school? It was good. What'd you do today, mom? Hey, bud, did you go outside and play? Yeah, but who's been at your house? And it took me the longest time to figure this out because, again, I was slow. I didn't know people did this. So phone calls in high conflict are not good for your children because they get punished. They get scolded. They get literally flashlight to the face, like an investigation. And anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, you're not in a fucking high conflict situation. So keep calling each other. Do you, boo? But for those of us that do have high conflict, these phone calls are torture for our children. And I had a mom go absolutely ape, I mean, not too long ago, in the comment section, and a couple back and forth, and between me and a couple other people, this woman was like, I have to be able to check on the children. The phone calls I have to have. And I said a couple things. Number one, I hear a lot of eyes I don't hear how it feels to be the children. Number two, have you ever thought what it's like for the children who, if you're the alleged person that makes them feel the safest, which I'm not questioning that, I don't know, that's what you're telling me. Can you imagine being in a tragic, abusive situation and hearing the solace, the calmness, the voice of your mother at that point and just begging for her to come pick you up? How triggering that would be? Have you also thought about that phone call doesn't do sh-? That's just what I commented back. Tell me how a phone call protects your children. And I'm just going to give you a heads up. If your children are in an abusive situation, they aren't allowed to be like, hey, guess what? I'm getting the shit knocked out of me right now. Hey, guess what? I haven't ate in 3 days. Hey, guess what? Blah, 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 blah. They're not going to tell you that because the high conflict person is right there watching their every word. You people are delusional if you think high conflict people do not coach your children before these phone calls. Come on. Again, I was slow to the game. I was slow to it. I didn't understand it. I was always wondering, like, why do you guys act so weird on the phone? Why do you guys ask me how many questions? Why? Like, I'll tell you when we get home. Like, why are you asking? I was slow to it. So phone calls, not including them. Not. If you want to talk to your kids every day, stay in that marriage. I said it. Stay married. But when you're divorced, you don't get to talk to your children every day. And if you can't prove they're the big bad monster that you say they are, then your kids are going to be exposed to the big bad wolf monster that they are. And your kids are going to have to figure out what they're going to do with that. And that is their story and their life. And yeah, you're there to help as much as you can, but there ain't a f-ing thing some of us can do about it except for put the band-aids on and teach them that you love them and teach them how to make their voices louder as they get taller. That is the only f-ing thing we can do. And we sit back and we bite our tongue and we wish somebody would hear our kids. We wish somebody would fight for them. We wish the court system would wake the f-ing up, but they don't. And these phone calls are torture for not only the parent that knows they're being abused, but also for the children that are being abused, that these phone calls are just like an escape for 3 minutes on the phone, only to get your ass chewed or beat as soon as you hang up because you said too much. That's the reality a lot of your kids at the ages of 3 are living, 13 most definitely, in high conflict situations. The last thing that I would not include in my parenting plan is a random sentence about splitting extra things, but with no definition of that. I'm not including the extra expenses if there's no rules and regulation about it, which again is a future episode because money is the root of all evil when it comes to high conflict people. High conflict people and money, I mean, it is like we could argue over $5. We've argued over a $20 copay with lawyers. Again, I was part of the problem. I didn't know what I had that I was dealing with. So all of these things right here are just a glimpse of don't include them if you have a high conflict situation. It's dangerous for you to include them because you think, oh, I need this in there for me. Yeah, but remember what I told you in the earlier episodes? Take your glasses off and put theirs on. They're going to look at right of first refusal and go, aha, got them. I'm going to be able to do same birthdays, got them. I'm going to be able to do You have to think about how your ex will use these things in your parenting plan. And the masterclass that I give, it's the way to learn what should be included. How should it be worded? How do I protect myself to where I don't set myself to have future abuse financially or just straight psychological abuse through the apps and through the phone and for more of my children? This is wisdom here. This is an expert, me talking to you, not only from my own experience, but from my training, but just living this of coaching people for the past 10 years. I see failure in these 7 things. Failure, clear failure, proven. If you include these things, it's almost a guarantee you will regret them because high conflict people don't play by the rules. And if your attorney is making you believe it's standard language, well, we learned in earlier episodes, standard language is not me. It's not what I'm signing. I'm not signing my life away. I'm not signing this. No, Larry, try again. Better yet, I'll do it myself. I'll bring a parenting plan to you. But we're not setting up. I just had a client who I've coached for 2 years. Her divorce is taking forever. And partly because they started it, stopped. Anyways, not this. But she's like, phone calls because now we're getting to the end and I just get so nervous that I won't be able to hear from him. And I'm like, don't include the phone calls. Like, please, I've coached you 1,000 times, but I'm telling you, your heart is going to speak to you and you're gonna be like, but I want to hear my kid's voice. But can you imagine when you hear that voice and you know it's different? You know it's scared. You know it's sad. I'm gonna tell you right now, it breaks your heart. And guilt and shame will stick around in your life even longer. When your kid is with that parent, they are with that parent. That is their life, their situation. You fix it when they come home. The phone calls won't help. None of these seven things will help. So make sure you are looking through your parenting plan and you're taking off those glasses of yours from your viewpoint and you're putting on your ex's glasses and saying, how will this hurt me from their perspective? Because they're going to come for me because they don't like me. This is high conflict. All right. If this episode brought up questions, made you recognize that I was right, there are some things that you just don't want to have in your parenting plan. What are the next steps? Should you be reaching for my services and saying, I need that masterclass that you've been talking about, that you've been alluding to? I need to go get all of it. I need to get the details. I need to get the verbiage. I need to get the wording. It's there for you. But above anything, make sure you're subscribing so you don't miss an episode.